Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Nation fam, what is up? What is happening? It's the DGEN Nation podcast coming at you live, recorded on your airwaves, and we're happy to do it. We're happy to come at you with the week 10 NFL DFS picks. I can't believe it. We're 10 weeks almost in to the season in DGEN Nation fam. It's been a fun ride. We're coming off a good week. Week 9, a lot of good hits for your boy. So that was exciting. A bananas game, bananas games all around. I mean, it was definitely a fun week to be after it in these DFS streets. And we're hoping to run that back here for the week 10 picks. DGEN Nation podcast is powered by the Fantasy Authority. You can follow the Fantasy Authority on Twitter and next at FF_Authority is where you can find that on Twitter and X. Ryan Williams here. You can find me on Twitter and X at Ryan_Alexander_W, and joined as always by my usual co-host, the Godfather himself, Mr. Kevin Steele at Fantasy Raf 13 is where you can find him on Twitter and X. Kev, how we doing? How we feeling? We got an interesting week 10 slate to break down for the people. So talk to him.
Yeah, this week's interesting. I mean, on the surface, there's a lot of really good games, right? Like you have the Bills Dolphins game with the 50-point total. You have the Rams 49ers game with the 49.5-point total. The Vikings game with a 49-point total. The Lions game with a 49-point total. You know, I mean, so, and then you have the Bucks game with a 48.5. Like, there's a lot of really good totals on this slate. But it also, it's like, not, like, there's not a lot that stands out to me that I'm just like, okay, I'm like locked in to play that, you know, like, I feel like there's some good spots for sure. We'll talk about it. But, like, I don't feel like that there's – and there's not a lot of, like, value on this slate, at least, like super obvious. Like because, like, last week you had, like, the Kyle Manon guy stuff that kind of opened things up. And, you know, and Travion Henderson, who is going to be the starting running back, which, I mean, there's still some of that this week. But it's not as obvious plays like we saw last week. So, I think these weeks are a little bit more probably interesting because – with there not being so much obvious like chalk and stuff like that, I think you can kind of get a little bit different and kind of it opens up the slate.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the pricing is tight this week, you know, without the value pieces that we've been so accustomed to seeing, you know, over the past couple of weeks, it makes for some interesting decisions, you know, at this point and where you're going to go, how you're going to attack the slate. Do we overstack game environments? Do we pick from these top tier pieces? And we have yet another 10 game slate on tap, Kev, with, you know, we got the Germany game, I believe, that's happening, you know, on Sunday morning. We got, you know, some high profile teams not on the slate. You know, when you talk about the Chiefs and the Eagles and the Packers, you know, with making some tough decisions. And so when we're breaking down the slate, it's definitely going to be an interesting one. And yeah, we'll see what the slate is leading us to. DGEN Nation fam, again, you know, if you're listening to us on your airwaves, on your podcast streams, make sure you give us a subscribe, maybe even a review, give us 5 stars. We appreciate that. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you hit that like button and also subscribe to the channel. That would be great. Link in the description for the Discord as well. So we want the DGEN Nation fam rocking with you. And before we even get into the slate, Kev, you know, we got to tease it. I mean, we get into November here, and this is really, you know, where the DGEN Nation, you know, pod has really shined all the way through. We're a couple weeks away from the Thanksgiving slate, which is always a fun one. We'll have that coming to the people earlier on in the week, you know, likely on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, whenever we get the recording scheduled down so that they have plenty of time to build your Thanksgiving lineups. And usually that week we kind of we've done the past two shows. So we'll have to talk about that because we do the Thanksgiving breakdown and the main slate. And then we, you know, we just get into a fun time with the season ramping up with the holidays and things like that. So definitely make sure you're paying attention to the channel. And we'll try and make sure that we're breaking down all the fantasy goodness, all the DFS goodness for you guys and the DGEN Nation fam. Kev, as we get into the week 10 slate, we kind of talked about it here, right? Like there's some decisions that need to be made. And, you know, as we always do, we started off at the quarterback position. And you really have some flat price. As tough as pricing is, you have some flat pricing on quarterback at the top. You know, I think about it with like a guy like Josh Allen, we're usually accustomed to seeing him like, you know, 1500, I would say like 1200 to 1500 more than, you know, guys in favorable environments. So like, let's take, for example, this Bears and Giants game, right? Like the Bears just had a bonanza against the Bengals. They're at home now. Caleb Williams stats at home versus on the road have always been in his favor. And Jackson Dart, you can literally play in every matchup. And we know what this defense for the Bears is doing. They're giving up points in bunches to teams, you know, who can provide explosive plays. And so when we look at this Bears-Giants game, you know, there's definitely going to be interest in a 6K Caleb Williams and a 5,700 Jackson Dart. But then when I think about it, you know, this Buffalo team going to Miami, going against this Miami team who's literally a shell of themselves. I mean, Mike McDaniel, I don't think can do another press conference without being, you know, asked if he's going to get canned because this guy just can't put a sentence together. The team is, you know, all in disarray. They definitely, you know, were thought to be necessarily sellers at the trade deadline, and it's just kind of been dysfunctional. And you know, you could see why Tyreek Hill might have been smiling when he left early on this season, even on a cart with a season-ending injury because of the dysfunction there. So you have Josh Allen visiting Miami. It's going to be warm there. You know, I think there's still some fantasy goodness there. And Josh Allen's only $1,000, you know, priced above Caleb Williams. You know, I think it's interesting. We haven't really seen a Josh Allen, you know, pop-off game as of yet. James Cook has kind of got going. And even when I say that, like not the pop-off game like we saw against Baltimore in week one where he puts up 41 points, not on the main slate, right? He puts up 41 DK points and they scored 41 points in that game. But he's still consistently putting out 28, you know, 23, 21, 25, 23. And on a slate where we have a little bit of uncertainty of how things are going to go, I definitely have interest in getting Josh Allen, you know, onto my builds, especially in, you know, three max, probably not single entry necessarily, but in three max builds, I have interest here going against a team that he's historically been able to beat up against. And then you have Lamar Jackson visiting Minnesota in that dome. We know what this season means for Baltimore at this point. They have to win, you know, every game matters, the way that the AFC North is playing out and the way that their season has started. And this Minnesota team, you know, they just were going in and shocking Detroit, so to speak, with JJ McCarthy being back. So this is an interesting game to be able to target. We know that, you know, the defensive side for Minnesota might be blitzing more. Does that open up Lamar Jackson's rushing ability? He didn't really rush in that first game back, didn't really need to, but now we could see him be able to utilize his legs more. So I find that game interesting. And then we have this game, you know, with the Rams and 49ers, where I always feel like this game just kind of jumps off the page for fantasy goodness. I feel like historically with Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan going against each other, these teams have been able to produce. And since Matt Stafford has been at the helm, you know, for the Rams, you know, this has been a matchup for him where the pass volume's gone up. This has been a matchup for whichever 49ers quarterback is, the pass volume's gone up. And these two teams have already played each other, and they threw the ball 98 times in that matchup, Kev. So, like, we could really – but the thing about this game is, like, everybody who you want to play is expensive. So without any value, how do you attack this game appropriately to be able to capture all of that. I think probably the 49ers side is going to be the way that you would want to go, because there's cheap pieces on that side. There's concentration on the Rams side. You might be able to guess with one piece on the Rams versus, you know, Brock Purdy. And if it's Brock Purdy or Mac Jones, they're going to need a couple pieces to come along with them. And you can stack them with McCaffrey as well to get all the points there. So I think for me, you know, at the start of the slate, before I toss it to you, Kev, like I'm really interested in the quarterbacks that are, you know, like, I guess if Brock Purdy's playing, Brock Purdy and above, but then if it's Mac Jones, I'll have interest in him. But I'm really interested in these top tier quarterbacks. And then if I'm going to pay down, I'm going to target that Chicago and Giants game, because of the way that the slate is shaping up and not too much jumping out of the page for me. I guess we do need to have a conversation about Tampa Bay and New England too. As I know that there's been people talking about that game. I just don't know how to attack it because both of the defenses have been so solid. They're so solid against the run. I know people are thinking it could be pass volume, but I just think that that game could just maybe play to the under more so than people are alluding to. Kev, how are you attacking the slate and what's standing out to you as we look to break down this week 10 slate here, you know, a couple of days before the slate kicks off?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think at least at the quarterback's position, I think there's some pretty obvious ways to go, right? I mean, I don't want to say, I don't want to like be like chasey, like we, but you know, this Bears game, I think stands out. The Giants, Jackson Dart is 5,700. Jackson Dart has been really good so far through, you know, since taking over since week four. He's, you know, he's the QB5 over that span. And the Bears are just terrible. Like, we just saw, you know, on defense. Like, we just saw Joe Flacco absolutely, you know, flame that defense. And they're on the year, they're allowing 260 passing yards and almost three passing touchdowns to opposing quarterbacks. They also allow the ninth most rushing yards per game to opposing quarterbacks, which is obviously good for Jackson Dart because, you know, Jackson Dart is actually, considering he's only started since week four, he's only two rushing touchdowns behind Josh Allen. He has five on the season. And so I really like That's this wild. Spot for Jackson Dart here in this game, in this game environment. And so I think Jackson Dart, and he is on the cheaper side. It's also a very cheap stack because, you know, and we'll get to a wide receiver, but like there's a wide receiver that I definitely want to play him with that I think sets up really well for him. And so, or if you want to run it with Theo Johnson, I think he's also in play, but yeah. Like there's definite paths to this for this game that you can go with. And so, and I also like a run back of like a DeAndre Swift who set up really well. Like I think this is one of my favorite spots, but you can also go to the other side if you want to as well with Caleb Williams. Now, you know, Caleb Williams, like from a fantasy perspective, was awesome last week. 280 yards passing, three touchdowns. He also had 53 yards rushing. He also, I think, caught a touchdown as well. And just went off last week. But he actually only completed 58% of his passes. Like, he wasn't a phenomenal, like, per se. But, like, still, obviously, he got there, got it done. And the Giants have been terrible. They allow the fourth most passing yards, the eighth most touchdowns, and the seventh most DraftKings points to quarterbacks. And so, like, you could definitely go back to Caleb if you want. We definitely got there with Colson Loveland last week.
Oh, yeah.
So I think both of those two are definitely in play. I love that game environment. I love that game. I think there's real shootout potential. Both those defenses are really bad. So it does remind me a lot of, like, the Bengals game last week. Now, I agree with you with the 49ers game. That game definitely has potential. I do always get worried with divisional games. These games can get a little bit weird. Just because of how well they know each other, and maybe it doesn't really shoot out the way that we hope or think that it will. But I do think Mac Jones is probably going to be the starter in place of Brock Purdy. I know Brock Purdy's continually getting in limited practices, and you know they said his status is up in the air. Find out on Wednesday or Friday, excuse me. But I don't think he plays. I think it's going to be Mac Jones again. And so, like, I think it is a little bit easier to go with Mac Jones because you have a Juwan Jennings, who's still really cheap. George Kittle, you can get there. Like, it's a cheaper stack, and then running it back with, like, a Puka. Because they're such a consolidated offense, it makes it a little bit easier to get to. So I do think that, you know, that is a spot we can look at. But, again, I think there's a little bit more volatility with that game just because with it being a divisional game. And then I think the other one is the Ravens game. Now, the thing with this game is that worries me. I like the Lamar side, but the J.J. McCarthy side worries me because this Baltimore defense has actually played a lot better. They have not allowed a passing touchdown over their last two games. Now, it's against Tua, you know, and it was against, I can't remember the other team they played, but it wasn't against, like, elite-level quarterbacks or anything like that. But they have made a lot of changes on this defense since their bye week, and this defense has really started to play a lot better. And so it does worry me a little bit. Like, can J.J. McCarthy do enough to be able to push the Ravens to continue to have to throw the ball at a really high rate? Because and so that's what worries me, because, like, J.J. McCarthy hasn't – he's averaging 23 pass attempts per game, and he's only throwing 145 passing yards per game and through his three starts. And he's also turned the ball over four times, so that is a little bit concerning. Now, he did put up, you know, almost 20 DraftKings points last week, but, you know, it's a little bit tougher. And like I said, I mean, this Ravens defense, you know, has been better. And so, like, it worries me. I know this game has a really high total, but, like, yeah, I feel like you could also go the other direction where it kind of implodes. And then you have this Commanders game that also has a 49-point total, and where I could probably poke holes in that one as well, because you have the Lions side, which I like, but they're on the road. Now, this Commanders defense is trash. Like, it is just absolutely – we saw Sam Darnold go out and throw four touchdowns, you know, in the first half on right. Sunday – what was it? Sunday night, Monday night football, whatever.
Yeah,
Sunday night Monday football. Night. You know, I guess that defense. But the Lions also really want to run the ball. And so if the Lions can just run the ball, that's what they're going to do. And so that spot worries me a little bit too. So I guess what I'm getting at, there's a lot of volatility here on this weekend, where I feel the best about the Bears and Giants game. I'm going to have a lot of exposure to that game. And I also like Sam Darnold at $5,800.
There it is.
Sam Darnold has been very good all year. And now we get another weapon added to this team. And Rashid Shaheed, he's going to be able to step right in. He has a lot of familiarity with Clint Kubiak. He was with Clint Kubiak last year whenever he was with the Saints. And before he got hurt, like, I mean, he was having a breakout year. Clint Kubiak put him in a lot of good situations, knows how to get him the ball. And so I think it also kind of just helps this overall, this offense, because it's kind of the thing they're missing. Like, JSN, you know, is I wouldn't call him a deep threat. I mean, he can run, like, go routes, but, like, that's certainly not something you call him. But Rashid Shaheed definitely can do that. And so I think opening up that deep, opening up the offense, I think can help a lot. The Cardinals defense is decent. Like, it's not a terrible defense, but it's definitely still a defense you can throw the ball on. So I do like Sam Darnold as well as a kind of a sneaky play as well.
Yeah, I knew that Sam Darnold talk up was coming from you, Kev, for sure, because I think that the game does invite some enticing elements, and I do have to, you know, maybe look at Jacoby Brissett just a little bit longer, you know, with the leash that he's kind of gotten, the situation with Kyler there. They're really trying to give him, you know, every chance to succeed. And as much as the Seattle defense has been balling out, you know, so far this year, and it's in Seattle, so that gives me a little bit of a hesitation. But if we, you know, expect points to be scored in this game, and just, you know, the way to be able to stack him up as well too, I definitely would have some interest in Jacoby Brissett as well in that game. I think, yeah, Kev, you hit it on the head for me with the volatility kind of the slate. And, you know, trying to find, you know, I think people will go to spots to try and find certainty. And that's what lends me to going to the high end quarterbacks this week, you know, on this week 10 slate. It's like, I think I know what the floor is with Josh Allen. I know what the floor is with Lamar. And I feel confident in those floors where they might, yeah, they might not have as much upside as some of these cheaper guys. But, you know, I think I can build some teams around these two pieces where I know they're the catalyst of their offense and can really make some noise about it. You know, we got to talk about, I got to mention Drake May, because this New England and Tampa Bay game is really, you know, kind of getting at me. And Drake May, and just on any slate he's just been getting there. He's been getting there. We have a situation with the Patriots where the volume the people could even be more condensed with Kashawn Booty dealing with a hamstring injury now and some other injuries. And so, like, and they're not going to be able to run against Tampa. It doesn't seem like, at least on paper, right? These teams haven't been able to do it so far this year. So we could see the volume even increasing for a guy like Drake May at only 6,400. Does he come with any interest to you, Kev, with some cheap stacking pieces?
I mean, I think that game has some intrigue. What worries me, though, is the Buccaneers' defense against the Patriots' offense, because the Patriots' offense has allowed a ton of sacks this year, and the Buccaneers are getting healthy at the right time, and I have a feeling that it could be a rough day for the Patriots' offense because they can't run the ball. Mm-hmm. And so, and then you're going to have to ask, you know, Drake May to be able to throw the ball against this defense. And whenever, you know that, you know, you can't run the ball and there's not a fear there, they're just going to, I mean, and Todd Bowles is one of the most aggressive defensive coordinators in the league. Like, he's just going to bring the house. And so it does worry me a little bit with that game also being able to take off. And I fear a little bit that Drake May could, this could just be a rough game for Drake May.
Yeah. No, that's fair. And I mean, that's what I've been talking about this dude every week, I feel like. And, you know, I've pulled the trigger on some, definitely had exposure to him, you know, in 20 max and definitely any multi-enter fields. But, you know, it's been hard for me to kind of get there, you know, with value opening up late on the past couple slates to feel really confident about it. And the reason being, Kev, is when you start to build those lineups out, it's like, okay, who the fuck do you pair him with? Like, what week, who is it going to be this week? And Patriots, you know, pass catching roulette, who's going to smash? You know, I always like to pair him with Hunter Henry to get that tight end spot there. It hasn't always been that, you know, it's been Kayshon Booty or it's been Pop Douglas or Stephon Diggs has kind of gotten into the mix. So it really makes it tough when you're trying to allocate, you know, spots and, I don't really think he's at the point where you can just play him naked, so to speak, but you definitely have to pair him with one. That's what seems to have been optimal on the weeks that his teams are up there and it's just hard to guess. So yeah, this could be one of those weeks, Kev, but if we don't get value that opens up, I could take some shots on Drake May with if Kashawn Booty's out, that just lowers that threshold of what you have to get right. Also looking at Jacoby Brissett's price, he's only 4,600. So definitely some intrigue there, I think, for me to get value there at the quarterback position.
So I have to ask, since we've, who are your top three plays at quarterback?
Right now, as it stands, I think my top three plays are Josh Allen, probably Lamar. Toss up between Lamar and Caleb, and then Mac Jones. Or I should say whoever starts. So Purdy or Jones, the San Francisco quarterback.
I think for me, it's going to be Jackson Dart. And then Lamar, and then I think I'm going to go Sam Darnold.
Okay, yeah, that fits the profile, Kev. You like Sam Darnold, talk up your boy. So
you brought
him up, you got to fit him in.
I also will say, like, I don't necessarily hate the Brissett call either. Like, he has played really well. Now, to be fair, it's been against some bad defense. I mean, the Packers defense isn't necessarily terrible, but isn't bad. But I mean, the Dallas defense is awful. But I mean, he scored 20 or more DraftKings points in all three of his starts.
Yeah, I mean, they're giving him. He's got green light to be able to succeed. And I feel like he'll, you know, it's a divisional matchup. It is on the road in Seattle. This will be a tough place to play, but at only 4,600 and how we're going to be able to play him and play that game, so to speak, that could definitely be interesting there. So we need value. We need value. And if you can get it at the quarterback position and feel good about your build, that's one place to do it. Kev, let's talk about the running back position and the way this shapes out, because, you know, we have a situation where you got Christian McCaffrey on the slate at 9K. You drop all the way down 1,000K to Jahmyr Gibbs, who I think Jahmyr Gibbs might be my favorite play on the slate, Kev. Ironically, we haven't had too many slates with the Lions, you know, kind of being in the mix where you just kind of, I mean, you can gravitate towards them too, but in the spot where they just had a letdown against Minnesota, where a lot of people are on them, a lot of people are on Jared Goff stacks, right? So we have to think about it this way. The Jared Goff on the road, Jared Goff outdoors in November. Still, this team's implied to score points. There's no Jaden Daniels anymore on the other side. We have Marcus Mariota. You know, this, how is this game going to go and break down? And I still think the Lions' identity is that they, you know, they're going to want to take advantage of matchups, but they've always, you know, the catalyst for this offense has been the running game, and it starts with Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, when Jahmyr Gibbs gets going, I feel like this offense just has so many ways to attack you that, you know, things kind of fall into place. And anytime this team, you know, is expected to put up 30 plus points, who is at the forefront? I mean, obviously Amon-Ra St. Brown can come with that, and Jared Goff too, but we always see Jahmyr Gibbs in the mix. And with him being only $8K, I think is a nice price that DraftKings did, because it's $1,000 more to get some McCaffrey. You have James Cook, who's just $500 less than that, even though he's a road favorite, they're heavy favorites, Buffalo, that is, over Miami. And then you have Devon Achane right after that. So I think Jahmyr Gibbs could probably go overlooked this week. Not sure what his ownership is coming in at, but I think the Lions, getting exposure to the Lions is always nice, and I think I'm going to do that through Jahmyr Gibbs this week. You know, the Devon Achane, James Cook, I don't think either – you can't talk me out of any either one of those running backs. I think that's nice. I think it's a nice leverage. You know, Devon Achane – the offense is so concentrated between him and Waddle that I feel like they're good plays anytime they're on a slate where they're expected, where they're going to be expected to play from behind, and the volume could be there. So I don't mind him at 7,400. I do kind of like James Cook at 7,500 to get exposure, even when I'm getting to Josh Allen teams. I'll just take the both of them. The two of them are 14.5K to combine together, and you could just get all the Buffalo action, you know, through those. We talk about how hard it is to kind of guess the pass catchers with Josh Allen, so I do have interest there. Outside of these top running backs, Kev, and I'll toss it to you, the guys that I'm looking at the most are Quinshon Judkins at 6,500. In this matchup against the Jets, who just got rid of everybody, or got rid of Quentin Williams and Sauce Gardner. That's enough when you look at the rest of the defense and how they've been playing thus far this year. This is a good matchup for him to, I think, you know, remind people that he's a good back as a rookie, and what he was doing before when he was cheaper than this is nice, and it's probably fair price at 6,500. Nice pivot off of Rico Dowdle, who I expect to be probably the most popular running back this week, and only 6,300 going against the Saints. I don't think it's a bad play, Kev. I just think he's going to be 30, you know, he's going to be one of the more popular running backs, and there are guys in the 6K range who you could pivot to, i.e. Quinshon Judkins, and then my next favorite running back in the 6K range, which is DeAndre Swift. He's healthy off the injury report. This is a great way to get exposure to that Chicago Giants game. They wanted to get him going. Everybody's thinking about the game that Kyle Manunga just had, and, you know, possibly thinking, oh, can Swift actually do that? But Swift was getting going before he popped up on the injury report. He's 6,100. That feels too cheap. Other than that, Kev, you know, I think we kind of talked pre-show about the Seattle running backs. I wish I knew what was going on in that situation to be able to attack it. Kenneth Walker, I can't believe he's only 5,300. If you would have told me going into the season that we'd be 10 weeks in and you'd have the lead back in Seattle, who's Kenneth Walker, be healthy, and he would be 5,300 on a slate at home, I just wouldn't believe it at 10 weeks in. But we still see Zach Charbonnet just getting trusted with the work. And you had mentioned, Kev, that he was getting work, you know, last game, which is encouraging to see. But then you think about, okay, they were leading that game big. What does that say about the state of this running back group? Like, are they going to trust Charbonnet more in situations when the game is close? It's just one of those weird spots for me. But that price tag is just one that I don't think you can get away from. And then David Montgomery there, like, you know, he's 5K. It's been hard to trust them, you know, so far this week. It's probably more of a multi-field play, you know, if you're going heavy on Lions. But, he, you know, I think that he does have the opportunity in games when the Lions are expected to smash to put up, you know, around 20 DK points. And if you do need the salary relief, he is only 5K to get exposure there. So that's what I'm looking at the running back slate from my end, Kev. How are you looking at it through your lenses over there, Godfather? Talk to the people about running back for week 10.
Yeah, I mean, I think sorry, I saw this comment. It threw me off.
Always this.
I repeat, don't play Rico. Play Hubbard. He cried.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, I mean, even if we're box score watching, we can, you know, that we can tell the story there of how good Rico's been this season. I mean, Hubbard, like, I think Dave Canales was giving Hubbard a shot, you know, because like Hubbard's been this dude for the Carolina team. Like, I kind of feel bad for the guy because like he was a bright spot for them before, you know, they're kind of starting to get things, you know, it feels like they're starting to get things righted a little bit, like they're playing competitively. But like Rico Dowdle is just so much more explosive. I mean, you don't need to like even, you know, if you just watch a little bit of the games, you could even see the highlights. Like it, Chuba just doesn't have it right now. He doesn't have the juice and they have no choice but to give Dowdle more touches.
Yeah, Robbie Rico Dowdle has been phenomenal. He has been just a monster. In games where he's played more than 50% of the snaps, he's averaging 30 DraftKings points. And he's been the most one of those explosive running backs in the league, averaging 5.2 yards per carry, ranking sixth in explosive run rate, 15 yards after contact per attempt, and second in EPA per rush. Like, he has been phenomenal. And we saw it last week. Dave Canales said before the week that, you know, that basically burying Chuba Hubbard, and Dave Canales has typically been a coach that has a lead back and rides that guy. And that looks like it's Rico Dowdle. And the Panthers are 5.5-point home favorites, and the Saints allow 110 rushing yards per game, nearly a touchdown per game, 10th most DraftKings points to running backs. Like, it is a phenomenal spot for Rico Dowdle. Last week was a very bad spot for Rico Dowdle, right? Like, yeah, the Packers have been really good against the run. They were on the road, and he went out and just ran through them. Now, is there, you know, he is going to be really popular, and he's probably going to be 30%+ owned, maybe higher. His price, especially on a slate where we don't have a ton of value.
Correct.
And so Rico is going to be super, super chalky. Now, I agree with you. DeAndre Swift is arguably in just as good of a spot. Actually, I would argue it's a better spot. It's not even an argument. It 100% is a better matchup for DeAndre Swift. And the Bears want to run the ball too. Like that's what the Bears want to do. Like, the Bears aren't trying to have Caleb Williams drop back 40 times a game. They want to run the ball. And Swift has quietly been, I mean, he doesn't really get the respect he deserves this year with how well he's actually been, but he's averaging almost 15 carries per game, 3.5 targets per game, 70% of the opportunities, but on a per touch basis, which is something that's completely reversed, because like in years past, like, he has not been efficient whatsoever with his touches. Like, last year in Chicago, he got all the touches, but he was wildly inefficient, where this year he's been extremely efficient. He ranks ninth in yards after contact per attempt, fourth in explosive run rate, and he's also receiving a really healthy 11% target share. He's been really good through the air, fourth in yards per reception, ninth in yards per route run. But this matchup against the Giants, like, the Giants allow the second most rushing yards, the fifth most rushing touchdowns. Now, through the air, they allow the ninth most receptions, the 10th most receiving yards, and the third most receiving touchdowns, as well as the second most DraftKings points to running backs. And so, like, this is an incredible spot for DeAndre Swift, and he's cheaper than Rico Dowdle. And so I love that. I love that call, and I think he's going to get overlooked. He's $6,100, and so I like him. Quinshon Judkins is also – you already brought him up, but Judkins is also just as good of a play. And it's a good matchup. And also, the Jets just lost, you know, obviously two pretty significant pieces of their defense, and Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams, who was traded to the Cowboys. And the Jets were already bad against the run, allowing eighth most rushing yards and the 12th most DraftKings points to running backs. And then you have the fact that the Browns are 2.5-point favorites on the road, which is kind of wild. But, I mean, Quinshon Judkins has been your ultimate, you know, game script dependent running back. Like, if they fall behind, then he gets game scripted out. If they can, you know, be close or have a lead, then he's going to see a ton of touches. He's averaging 17 carries and 2.1 targets per game. And so it is a very, very good matchup for Judkins. They're coming off their bye. And so I think all three of those running backs are definitely in play. But if Rico is going to be significantly higher owned than the other two, just give me those guys. I am going to be playing some Kenneth Walker. I am. Like you mentioned, we talked about it before. He's $5,300. Now, again, if I'm just playing one lineup, I'm not getting the Kenneth Walker. But if I'm entering multiple lineups, I'm going to have to Kenneth Walker. I know he hasn't been very good. I know it's been super frustrating. But like you kind of alluded to, last week he played a season-high 57% of the snaps. He also saw four touches inside the 10 compared to just one for Charbonnet. And he also ran a season-high in routes last week against the Commanders. And so if this is a trend that continues, which makes sense that they would try to ramp him up, you know, considering they were coming off their bye, then Kenneth Walker, I mean, we know how explosive he can be. He's one of the most explosive, and he's still one of the most explosive running backs in the league. Like, he's been still really good, on a per-touch basis this year. Still one of the most explosive running backs. It just, once they get inside the 10-yard line, they were pulling him out for Zach Charbonnet, and he was losing the touchdown, which was super frustrating. Now, if what we're seeing continues, and, you know, the touches that the way they were distributed last week continues moving forward, then he develops into a really good play, and then where he could smash the spot. Because remember, these two teams have already played once this year, and Charbonnet totaled over 110 yards in that game, but he lost touchdowns to Zach Charbonnet in that game. So I know there's a lot of volatility here with the play, but he's $5,300, and I like the explosiveness for him. And so I just think that Walker's a sneaky play where nobody's probably going to play him.
Yeah, and he owes you, Kev. I mean, I feel like we've talked about some slates with Seattle, whether it be island slates, showdown slates, that is, and main slates. And you've gone to that well a time or two or three or four. So this would be the week to try and get some Kenneth Walker exposure and see if he's able to pay off some dividends for you. He's, yeah, $5,300 just feels way too cheap for a guy of his caliber. As
I thought we were going to get Ray Davis value open up, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
No,
everybody started freaking out yesterday with James Cook because he didn't practice on Wednesdays. Which I don't know how we can like why people care so much about Wednesday practice reports. Like, Wednesdays are not that big of a deal, especially this part of the season. Like, guys are going to get rested, vets are going to get rested on Wednesdays. But everybody was flipping out on, you know, Twitter yesterday about, you know, James Cook. But, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, he's going to be – I expect he'll be fine. And we're getting at that point in this season, too, where some of the, you know, some of the high-profile guys are probably going to be, you know, if they pop up on the injury report, they're not going to be practicing, you know, in full on Wednesdays and Thursdays. And, you know, we're just going to have to – We're at that point in the season, 10 weeks in. They're going to be gearing up for the back half. So that's going to be normal. Anything else, Kev, that we need to talk about before we flip it over to the wide receiver state of the slate?
I mean, I think in terms of the top guys, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, McCaffrey's in play every time, but I really think Achane is also a very interesting play at 7,400. He's on the cheaper side of all these guys. Buffalo has been really bad against the run all year, and this is a home matchup for Miami. I don't hate Devon Achane at $7,400. And then I also kind of like Derrick Henry as well at $6,800. If the Ravens are able to shut down the Vikings, which is certainly possible, with the way their defense has been playing, I think that bodes really well for someone like Derrick Henry, who's 6,800. So I think Henry's kind of a sneaky play, as well as Devon Achane. I think are two of the top guys that I'm a little bit more interested in that I think are going to have low ownership.
Yeah, the Devon Achane is definitely there for me for sure at 7,400. I absolutely love it. I mean, I think, you know, I'll be putting together a team with Josh Allen and two Miami pieces, and the two Miami pieces that I feel like you can trust and feel really good about it because of the way that, you know, you can nicely project the game script to go. So, yeah, Devon Achane's definitely going to be a guy, whether it's Buffalo, Miami builds or not, that I'm going to have my eye on for sure. Kev, let's talk about wide receiver, man. This is a fun one to break down because, you know, we got Jaxon Smith-Njigba, rightfully so, priced up to $86K. He is $100 cheaper than Puka Nacua, who Puka was having, you know, an insane season to start, has been dealing with these, you know, injuries, soft tissue and what have you over the past couple of weeks. But even then, you know, he comes back from week 9, leaves the game, mind you. It's thought to, you know, not return. He comes back. He just puts up a cool, you know, 22.8 DraftKings points without even hitting, you know, the bonuses that he had been hitting, you know, to start the season with the receptions and yards being short of 10 and 100. So, you know, but Jackson's right there. I mean, you know, the price bump is fair. And that's going to be an interesting matchup for Seattle and Arizona. So when you're talking of Sam Darnold, you know, obviously you got to look first and foremost at JSN and him being at 8,600 is, you know, that's the price tag that you got to pay for him. It's hefty, but it makes sense. Same thing with Puka. Like, it's a hefty price tag. People have been playing him, you know, every year that he, or every week this year that he's been on the slate. But he's Christian McCaffrey at the wide receiver position. You know, what is not to like about the profile that you're seeing? The floor is absolutely there. It's a cash game play. For those who play cash, you don't even think about it. You just put him in at only 8,700. He should probably be 9K. And you don't think about it there. And then you still have Amon-Ra St. Brown, who, you know, is liable to get.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
30 DraftKings points, you know, anytime that Detroit's expected to smash. Now, this is that, you know, road matchup that I talked about with Jared Goff that I don't usually, you know, target him in road matchups outdoors, especially with not a high-profile quarterback on the other side. But if Mariota is able, you know, to keep this team close, then, you know, St. Brown is probably a guy that you'll want exposure to in multi-entry teams. He's always just a guy that I feel like, you know, the floor is kind of safe there. Always just kind of wonder about the upside. Justin Jefferson might be a guy that, you know, I start thinking about as we get closer to the main slate. You know, he's only 7,900, kind of the forgotten child, right, with all these, you know, young receivers, younger than him, that is, that have been popping off as of recently. But, you know, he's showing us that he, you know, he can still be that dude if, you know, the quarterback's able to get him the ball. And you talked about this Baltimore defense, Kev, kind of being a little bit better, and we'll see what JJ McCarthy can do. But if he's able to get, you know, Justin Jefferson the ball, you know, kind of in space, if they're able to scheme some looks to him, this could be an interesting, you know, game stack where you could get Justin Jefferson at very low ownership, I expect, and be able to target there. So, you know, when we talk about the kind of state of the slate, I always like to talk about the high price guys. And then Davante Adams, you could talk about him as well, too, to go along with Puka. I mean, you know, trying to get Puka, Stafford, and Davante Adams is so hard to, you know, do at this time and currently build with the tight pricing. But with, you know, Puka's role and then Davante Adams being the most targeted wide receiver, I feel like for end zone targets, got to be in the league. He just is a magnet for the ball down there, and Matthew Stafford looks for him every time. It makes sense because that's where the ball is going. Like, if they're not running the ball, you can just expect that it's going to these guys. But when we talk about favorite receivers, so, you know, I think Jaylen Waddle is going to come in, you know, definitely right there at only 6,400 going against this matchup in Buffalo. The target concentration has just been there, you know, since the Hill injury, and that's where the ball is going to. It's going to Achane, it's going to Waddle. Waddle's been consistently, you know, putting up some really decent numbers, especially the past two games. You're loving what his 15 targets over the past two games. They're going to need to have him show up, need to throw in this matchup, and at 6,400, definitely like him. Emeka Abuka, I think we get back to seeing what this kid was doing at the beginning of the season. You know, they have their bye now. They're going to be able to scheme up looks. It's going to be hard for this team to run against New England's defense. He's 7K, which you feel really good about that price tag, given the, you know, wide receiver room for Tampa Bay and how depleted it is. And we got news, you know, today that Chris Godwin's a couple more weeks away. So I think he's going to have every opportunity, you know, to really excel in this role that he's in. And it's a matchup that I just expect Tampa Bay to be passing a shit ton, because it's tough to run on New England. So sign me up for Emeka Abuka at that 7K price tag. I do think this is a week. The price tag is coming down on him. I think we see Rome Odunze getting back into the mix. At only 6K, you know, he's coming off a game with three targets there, but we know what the rapport has been so far with Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze to start the season. You know, he had an end zone target that was, you know, behind him, you could argue, but hit his hands, he dropped it. He's been the trustworthy receiver in this offense all year. They ran a shit ton of gadget plays last week to get other guys involved, and then obviously, you know, Colson getting involved was huge for them too. But, you know, in a game that I expect points to be scored, I'm willing to go back to Rome again at 6K. With that price tag difference, have interest in Stephon Diggs. I'm on the other side of that Tampa Bay and New England game with the Kashawn Booty injury potentially. If he were to miss, I think that's going to be interesting. Have some interest in the wide receivers for San Francisco. We talked about the quarterback position there. And I'm going to be looking at Kendrick Bourne. You know, Kendrick Bourne actually sees a price decrease for $500. I think, you know, it's because of the Juwan Jennings, you know, situation. The room's getting healthier, but he still has this rapport with Mac Jones. As long as he's the quarterback, I'm going to be willing to target him. I think I'll probably have some interest in Pop Douglas at 4K if I'm going to Drake May as well too. And then Kev, before I open it up for you, I just want to talk about this Washington situation. So, you know, Debo Samuel is healthy, but we lost Luke McCaffrey, who's, you know, I believe, I don't think he's on IR, but could possibly be going to IR, or he's definitely going to miss. So he's banged up. We have this situation here where, you know, Jalen Lane, this rookie wide receiver, could be in for some more looks. He's only 3,600, and I know he's kind of been mixed in a little bit thus far. Things aren't going to pop off, you know, on the box score too much, but, you know, has games of five targets, six targets, you know, in two of the past three already on the season. He's an interesting guy that I want to keep my eye on, because we don't have any true quote unquote value, right? But if he's going to be on the field for this offense on the other side of a game where I expect the team to creep to 30, if all things align, then I'm going to have interested in Washington piece on the other side, and he's only 3,600. So cheap enough to mention. Kev, what are you doing at the wide receiver position, and how are your builds coming out this far?
Yeah. So for me, the first thing I want to ask is when it comes to JSN, like JSN has been phenomenal, but what number does he need to hit for like a guy to have a score at $8,600?
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't hit 30, you're depressed.
That's kind of my thought. Like, because, like, I mean, he's only hit that twice. I mean, I guess you could technically say he's almost hit it a third time when he had 29.3 picking the hairs. But like, I'm just saying, like, at this increased cost, like, he has to go nuclear for him to kill you, right? And on this slate, and it's kind of the same with Puka. Like these guys have. I mean, Puka, you know, could easily score 40. Like, if this game goes off, like, I mean, that's definitely in the range of outcomes, is how much he's targeted. But I'm just saying, like, these guys are so expensive that they have to, like, go out and have, like, a nuclear game. Like, I don't feel like they're, like, right, a must-have in your lineups. But I will say, I think for me, I think there's some spots that we could look here. One, I think Garrett Wilson's a phenomenal play.
Yeah,
good call. And, I mean, so prior to his injury, he had a 34.8% target share and a 48.3 first read target share which is the highest rate for any wide receiver this year. I mean, 48% of first read target share is absolutely bonkers. But it's also a good schematic matchup where the Browns have been more of a pass funnel this season. The Browns are actually allowed the sixth most fantasy points to outside wide receivers and have allowed the seventh most touchdowns to wide receivers this year. So I think Garrett Wilson's a really strong play. If you want to do like a mini stack of Jenkins with Garrett Wilson, I like that. Mm-hmm. But Garrett Wilson's only 6,100. But with his role in the offense, I just think that he's a very, very strong play. And there's a real likelihood he sees 10-plus touches or 10-plus targets in this game. And so I really like him. I think one – I kind of go back and forth, but Nico Collins I think is interesting too. Davis Mills hyper targets Nico Collins. Like last week, Nico saw 11 targets against the Broncos. 10 of those came from Davis Mills. And so, like, and this is a good matchup. I mean, the Jaguars allowed the sixth most touchdowns, 11th most DraftKings points to wide receivers this year. And so, like, I hesitate because it's Davis fucking Mills, at quarterback. But, like, it's definitely in the range of outcomes that he sees another, you know, double-digit targets. He's 6,700. Like, maybe you don't have to go there. But I think there's at least some interest there for me for him. One of my favorite plays on this entire slate is actually Darius Slayton. He was the guy I was talking about. Darius Slayton, I think, is 4,300. But it is a phenomenal, like, schematic matchup for Darius Slayton this week. And because Wandale Robinson is – he's been seeing more targets. But all of his targets are, like, within the, you know, 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. Like, they're very short, intermediate targets where Darius Slayton has a 13.7 ADOT, which is top 15 among wide receivers. And like I said, the Bears allow the most receptions of 20-plus yards. They also allow a 7.4 yards per attempt, which also ranks second highest. That very much better suits Darius Slayton and what he brings to the table. And so I love Darius Slayton this week at 4,300 against the Bears defense. And so I'm going to have a ton of Darius Slayton. If you just box score watching, it's not going to necessarily stand out to you because last week you went 5-for-7. 62 yards, 11.2 PPR points, but different matchup. He should have had a 70-yard touchdown. It was called back due to a bullshit penalty. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot to like with Darius Slayton. So if you're needing value, I think Darius Slayton is definitely a place we can look. I also think Tez Johnson is also a pretty good play. Chris Godwin's obviously not going to play. He's on the cheaper. I think he's 4,600. But I mean, he's been targeted 15 times over the last two games. Previously to their bye. He's also running 85% of the routes, and he's also playing 35% of the routes from the slot, which means he's likely going to avoid Christian Gonzalez. And so I think Tez Johnson, I think, is also in play as a cheaper pairing. Juwan Jennings is also a really good play. 4,600, we talked about him last week. Didn't quite get there, but he didn't kill you either, because I think he was 4,300 or somewhere right around there last week. I know he's on the cheaper side before, 41 and a score.
Yeah, 43.
Pretty solid performance for him. But, again, the Rams allow the third most PPR points to outside wide receivers, and Jennings only runs 25% of his routes from the slot. And so he's going to be playing majority of his time on the outside. And so I think that sets up really well for Juwan Jennings. So I think of your cheaper wide receivers, like those are the guys that really stand out to me the most. I do think Marvin Harrison's somewhat interesting too. We kind of saw him get unlocked last week by Jacoby Brissett, but he's only 5,300. And then, it's like I said, as far as the top guys are concerned, like I have some interest in like a Justin Jefferson, but he just hasn't been able to get going this year. Like he doesn't really have any weeks where it's like, oh man, like you had to have Justin Jefferson. It's crazy. It's, a lot of it's because he only has 2 touchdowns all year.
Right.
So, like, I think if I'm going to play high-priced wide receivers, I really want to try to figure out a way to get Puka Nacua, in there because of just the massive amount of the upside that he brings. And then after that, I probably just pay down at wide receiver. I think Jalen Waddle is also interesting, too. Mm-hmm. He has been hyper-productive since Tyreek Hill has been out, outside of the one game against Cleveland, which that was the weather game where it was brutal outside. But other than that, he's been really solid too, and he's 6,400. So I mean, other than that, I don't know. Maybe Rome Odunze has a bounce back spot at 6K. Great matchup for him. Obviously, it wasn't great last week with the zero targets, but I will say, moving forward, we should probably give some respect. If you're going to give any respect to the Bengals, DJ Turner has been phenomenal for them. And he has shut down a ton of elite wide receivers this year. And so I think that might have had more to do with it than anything of why he just wasn't involved in the game plan and why he didn't really see targets.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And yeah, I mean, Caleb is, you know, he hasn't shown the propensity to, you know, get off of his, you know, first reads or be able to, you know, look off coverages like that. So yeah, I say that to say if Rome was being taken out of the game, he's not going to go there. Like as much as a rapport they have or whatever, if it's looking like it's going to be tight, if it's looking like the guy's going to be covered, I'm going to go somewhere else and we're going to come up with first reads elsewhere because he's not going to take a chance on that. So that's a great call out, Kev. Appreciate that. And I know that people do as well, too. So we'll see. But, I mean, this 6K price tag for Rome, you know, we'd be salivating if this were, you know, the past two matchups, you know, that they've had on the docket. So we'll see what if it's a chicken egg situation there from a coverage standpoint. Yeah, I mean, I think you hit on the head. I'm so happy that you brought up Garrett Wilson because, you know, these Jets haven't been on, you know, a main slate to be able to break down in quite some time. And I know he was banged up for a little bit of the season, but Justin Fields locks into one guy and he force feeds him, you know, as opposed to like Caleb Williams. Like we know that Justin Fields is going to trust his primary receiver and they're going to be able to get him as much work as he can handle. And we started to see that kind of come to fruition at the beginning of the season. And then we've kind of, you know, had it been forgotten about with them being off the slate or him being banged up. So love that Garrett Wilson call as well too. And yeah, I think we nailed on the head with the situations there of what's kind of shaping out and what kind of comes to us as we break down the slate, you know, early on in the week before the full injury reports come out. Kev, with this Jaguar situation and their wide receiver room, adding Jacoby Myers, is that a little bit too muddled for you? I know that Brian Thomas is kind of, you know, dealing with something banged up. We know that they wanted to make a move with the Travis Hunter injury as well too. And Parker Washington was still trying to, you know, he was just kind of getting into the mix and he's priced up based on what his role was, you know, in the offense last week, but that was before Jacoby Myers. So any interest there in Jacksonville or just not at this time?
No, I have way too much respect for that Texas defense. The Texas defense has been phenomenal. Like, I mean, they're the best defense in the league. And I mean, they're the number one scoring defense. They have just been phenomenal against every position. So I really don't want any part of any Jaguars, especially with Trevor Lawrence at quarterback. And I don't think Brian Thomas plays. Hasn't practiced yet Wednesday or Thursday. It sounds like it's a high ankle sprain. They called it a mild high ankle sprain. There's like no such thing as a mild high ankle sprain. So, like I think he misses some time. I think he probably misses a couple weeks. And so I don't think Brian Thomas plays here. But still, I'm not playing any Jaguars against the Texas defense.
Fair enough. Just a situation I wanted to call out with the trade deadline. And before we move it over to tight end, Kev, it's just Olamide Zaccheaus every week, right? We just lock him in and play him in our lineups and move on. Perfect. Nope. Yeah. No, I agree. I agree, Kev. Lock him in every week. Kev, let's talk about tight end position as we move on for the week 10 breakdown of NFL DFS picks here with the DJ Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority. You guys can follow the Fantasy Authority on Twitter and X at @FF_authority. Kev, we got a fun tight end slate to break down because we got Trey McBride and rightfully so. Priced at 6K, leaps and bounds above everybody else at the tight end position. But the volume that he is seeing, you told me, Kev, you told me specifically in the chat that you are going to be playing Trey McBride as long as Jacoby Brissett is the quarterback. And the way that Jacoby Brissett is peppering this guy, and you know, ironically, you know, we kind of saw Marvin Harrison get going right for the first half of that game and really kind of put things out. But Trey McBride just finds a way to get it done with Jacoby at the helm. And you know, anybody who has Trey McBride in Dynasty is hoping that this situation gets rectified with the quarterback position because we need Trey McBride to flourish. So he's 6K $1,500 more than George Kittle, who's your next highest price tight end, which is just even crazy to see, looking at the two names there, of that being a $1,500 difference. But George Kittle has had, you know, it's been a tough season for him with injury early and, you know, Brock Purdy being out of the lineup too. I do have a ton of interest in George Kittle in this matchup against the Rams, and we'll be having exposure to it as I'm targeting this game. Always have interest in Sam Laporta, as some might call him. I mean, breaks off that incredible, insane touchdown early, just seeing what he could do. It's just a matter of volume with the different mouths that they have to feed in Detroit, but he's only 4,400 and it is tight end. So, you know, he's always going to be in the conversation and interest for me. I think tight end is tough when you kind of break down the state of the slate though, Kev, because when we talk about tight pricing, you know, we've been accustomed to being able to pay for the high tight ends because they've been priced at like the 5K range, the low 5K range, even the 4K range in some point in time with good matchups. We haven't had this 6K smash tight end spot in some time. So it definitely, you have to make a decision on if you want to pay up that price tag for Trey McBride solely, or if you're going to go to some of these other cheaper guys. There are some cheap guys that do pop off of the cage. Page, Kev, you did mention Theo Johnson, who comes in at 3,800, who's definitely had a rapport with Jackson Dart, you know, as of late. I think he makes for some interest. Kate Otten, who's $100 more at 3,900, with the way that things are shaping up with the Tampa Bay pass catching core for Baker, you know, Kate Otten has been a reliable target for him. We have Mark Andrews, Kev, at 3,400 going against this Minnesota D. I mean, this is just like, even with Lamar coming back last week, we could see, you know, Mark Andrews getting back in the mix. And I just don't understand what this price tag is. You know, Isaiah Likely last year kind of popped onto the scene, right? He has that big week one game and, you know, still gets in the mix early, but he's dealt with injuries kind of all season long. He was dealing with stuff all training camp, and Mark Andrews has been so consistent on the year and has actually seen some pretty decent production work that really just doesn't make sense for a $3,400 price tag for this guy. We know what his ceiling can be. And against this, you know, matchup indoors against Minnesota, with them going to be blitzing and putting pressure a lot, I feel like Mark Andrews could end up being a slam dunk play there. You know, I think it'll be interesting to me how people treat Colson Loveland in this matchup, with Cole Kmet still kind of dealing with some stuff on the injury report. He's priced all the way up, Colson Loveland, that is. He's priced up now to 4,100. And, you know, people could just be chasing, right? They could be chasing what he just did. But we have to remember the last play of the game is where he really saw his production, you know, peak up to, you know, hitting the bonus 400 yards and all of that, plus getting the touchdown, which was his second touchdown, I believe. So, yeah, it's just kind of crazy with that situation. But, yeah, I think there's still some cheap tight end options. Even Hunter Henry at 3,500, I'll have interest in. Mason Taylor, too, has had some success at 3,200. So I think with the way I'm attacking the State Club is because I'm going to be paying up at running back, or at least having, you know, a 6K running back and trying to pay up. I'm going to be having some, you know, there's not a lot of cheap options at wide receiver that I like outside of game stacks. So for me, it's got to be this 3K range for my tight end. But when I am playing Jacoby Brissett at 4,600, that's how I'm going to get my Trey McBride exposure. How are you feeling about the state of the tight end slate for this week?
Yeah, I think it's pretty solid. I mean, Trey McBride, I mean, he's like a wide receiver one, right? I mean, he's seeing just incredible target. I mean, with Jacoby Brissett, I mean, he was one short of having 10 targets last week. But, I mean, with Brissett, he's had seen 11, 13, and 9. Jacoby Brissett has historically just peppered his tight ends with targets. And so, obviously, and Trey McBride has just been phenomenal with him. And so, like, he's definitely in play. It's also a good matchup. I mean, the Seahawks, that is something that they've struggled with. They allow, like, the 9th or 10th most DraftKings points to tight ends. And so, you know, 6K, obviously, you know, you need him to score at least 20 for him to, you know, right, really kind of pay off that price tag. But he's definitely capable of doing so. I think that – I do agree. I think Colson Loveland is going to probably get steamed up a lot. Now it's not a bad matchup. It's not like a phenomenal matchup. It's not a bad matchup for Colson Loveland. But, you know, it should be mentioned that Cole Kmet is going to be the rare guy who's going to make a threat after suffering a concussion, because he already got a limited practice on Wednesday and he was full today. So he's going to get cleared from concussion protocol and be back to play for this game, which is surprising because generally speaking, if you guys suffer a concussion, they're going to miss the next week and then they'll be back the following. So I was a little surprised that he's already cleared. So Cole Kmet will be back for that game. But that being said, I do think there's some other plays. Like, I think, you know, you already mentioned Theo Johnson. Like, there's a lot to like with Theo Johnson because he has been, you know, heavily utilized inside the red zone. He ranks top five among tight ends and red zone targets. And he's also top eight in route participation. And the Bears have allowed the 10th most DraftKings points to tight ends. Juwan Johnson is also a really good play, especially now that Rashid Shaheed got traded. But he was already having a breakout year. He's top six in receptions, top eight in receiving yards among tight ends. And he's kind of been that safety blanket for them. He's seen a 22% target share, which is top four among tight ends. So, you know, the Panthers struggle at times against tight ends, allowing top 12 in DraftKings points tight ends. So I think Juwan Johnson, who's on the cheaper side, is in play. Dalton Schultz, you know, with all the Jaguars have been dreadful against tight ends this year. They're not the Bengals level bad, but they're still really bad, allowing 19.2 DraftKings points to tight ends. And we saw last week, you know, Dalton Schultz, you know, see eight targets, which is the second most he's seen all year. And so I think Dalton Schultz is kind of an interesting play as well in what is a phenomenal matchup at $3,600. So I think for me, and then, one last one. You know, it wouldn't be me if I can't go dumpster diving down here in the 2K range of tight end. I think there's, like, I have some, like, intrigue with Greg Dulcich. last week, he was targeted five times, 49 yards. It's a team that obviously, outside of Achane and Waddle, like, there's not much, you know, there's not much talent, right? I mean, Malik Washington is nothing but a gadget player. But, you know, with Darren Waller out, Dulcich, I think, is kind of interesting because they were utilizing him in a lot of different ways. And so he's 2,600. It's probably too cheap with a lot of the other tight ends that are on the slate, but I do have some level of interest there. If, like, you're desperate, if you got a build that you absolutely love, you know, you have less than 3,000 to spend, I think Dulcich could be somebody you plug in.
Wouldn't be you, Kev. You nailed it right on the head. If you didn't go dumpster diving at tight end, 2,600 Greg Dulcich against Buffalo. You know what could go wrong? Can't wait. You know, what's the team look like, Kev? What's the team look like around Greg Dulcich that you're making that play? Because maybe that is enough. Maybe that's enough to do.
I mean, you're if you do a Stafford and a Puka and Devonta build, you know, and you're trying to get some extra savings there, you throw Dulcich in at tight end.
Absolutely, 2,600. That'll get it done. You could probably pay him with the 2,600 or cheap defense too, and even open up more salary. Kev, let's talk about defense as we get ready to close it up. DGen Nation fam, it's the DGen Nation podcast coming at you. Appreciate you guys rocking along with us as we break down the Week 10 picks on DraftKings. Powered by the Fantasy Authority. Follow us on Twitter at @FF_authority is where you can find us. We really appreciate that. Kev, we got defense to talk about before we build that Millie team and let the people go out and start to build their Week 10 lineups out. 3,700 is your highest price defense with the Bills going against Miami. I mean, it's Miami. It is on the road, though. The Bills haven't really been – I get why they're priced at 3,700, but this doesn't feel like the week that we had last week where it was like, you know, you had the Chargers D up there, you had the Lions D up there and just really great spots. Trying to think who else was priced up there, but just the defenses who were up there, you felt like, okay, yeah, the way that value breaks out, the way that the situation breaks out, we can definitely take some Rams. Rams were ones that were up there going against the Titans, I believe. So yeah, now that we have, you know, a slate where, you know, we're devoid of such value, we really need to be cognizant about where we're spending our money on defense. So when we look at some cheap defenses, or cheaper, I should say, defenses, and we go to the 2K range there, I will have some interest in the Browns defense going against the Jets in a game that I expect to be, you know, sloppy, and the Jets defense on the other side is definitely, you know, going to be suspect. So maybe Cleveland could play from a lead here. It's not something that they're accustomed to, but hey, you never know. Get some pressure. I do like that. I'll take some chances on the Jaguars defense at 2,600. They were really, you know, they've kind of fallen off the map, Kev, but early on in the season, they were able to wreak havoc, do some takeaways. Maybe we're able to do that again now with Davis Mills being at quarterback, as you kind of alluded to, not much going on with the Houston offense there. So that's definitely of interest to me. And then I do think that there makes some sense for a leverage play on the Bears defense at home with the way that they're creating takeovers. As great as Jackson Dart, or as, you know, great at fantasy, producing fantasy points as Jackson Dart has been. I don't want to say great for him this yet, but he is producing. But even then, like, this Bears defense has been opportunistic. They got the crowd with them at home. I'm willing to take some chances on them at 3K. Nice pairing with DeAndre Swift as well, too. And then if we go a couple hundred dollars more, I will go back to the Lions well against Marcus Mariota, even though it's on the road. I think, you know, I alluded to Gibbs being one of my favorite kind of GPP plays on the slate, maybe even my favorite play, but definitely GPP play. And even though they're on the road at 3,400, I could take some chances on them wreaking havoc. Kev, what are you doing at defense and what's standing out to you?
Yeah, I think there's, again, pretty obvious spots, I think, here. Browns, you already mentioned them, $2,900. I feel like they should be more expensive than they are. Browns defense has been pretty solid all year. Again, you can't run on them. But I will say that the Jets allow 3.9 sacks per game on the season, but over the last five, they've been even worse, allowing 5 sacks per game. The Browns have racked up the 9th most sacks. And they also created pressure on 21% of dropback, which is also top 10. Among defenses. The Jets have also turned the ball over at a pretty high rate, 10 times through 8 games, which is 10th highest. And so I think Myles Garrett could have an absolute field day here in this matchup against Justin Fields. And so the Browns, $2,900, love them. And then Jacksonville, I do think they're in play. I mean, Davis Mills is not very good. And the Texans offensive line is dreadful. They're not going to be able to run the ball. And so I do like Jacksonville defense at 2,600. I think they're in play as well. And then the Bucs, we kind of talked about it, like the Bucs defense. I think they are a pretty smart play at 2,700. If you look, the Patriots allow a ton of sacks. They allow the 4th most sacks, 3.8 sacks per game. But over the last three, they've allowed 5.3 sacks per game. And the Bucs, like I said, they bring pressure, one of the highest rates in the league. And they also do a very good job of getting pressure. They also do a very good job of turning teams over. They are top 5 in offensive drives, resulting in a turnover this year as well. So opportunistic defense. And so the Bucs, I think at 2,700, I think very low-owned play. I think you could look to play them as well.
Yeah, like that. And I always like just targeting defenses in games where, you know, the offenses are expected to be somewhat popular if I'm not getting exposure to them. So always a great way, especially in GPPs, to get some leverage on the field. So love that call out, Kev. Kev, we're at that time. We're 10 weeks in. 9 weeks in, I should say. On the 10th week, we're ready to build this Millie team out for the people.
Let's do it.
Let's see. So we got the Millie team going. This is the small Millie. This, you know, people don't get excited. This isn't the big high dollar Millie. Although after we hit this, you know, after we hit big in this one, we might be able to dabble in that for the people. But we got 161,763 entries, Kev, that we're going to be competing against here. So, you know, we always have to, you know, be smart with our builds, but we can take some shots on some players to be able to sink this Millie down. And when we started off at the running back position, I'm going to start it with a guy that I think both of us felt pretty good about when we were breaking down the running back position. And I'm going to put Quinshon Judkins in for the start of this build.
Jackson Dart.
All right, so I'll let you go with his stacking partner. I'm going to play the Garrett Wilson mini, as you kind of alluded to. I didn't talk him up. You were the one talking up Garrett Wilson, but I do like that mini correlation there.
All right, give me Darius Slayton.
All right, and Slayton comes in. He's, what, 4,100 or where is Slayton? 4,300. Yep. So we put him in there. And I'm just going to go ahead and plug in DeAndre Swift. And we'll just take 2 6K running backs with this build. which will give us 53-25 for wide receiver, tight end, flex, and defense. So we're definitely going to have some flexibility once we put defense in.
Let's go ahead and just plug in the Jaguars defense for now.
So if you plug in Jaguars D, that gives us pretty much 6,200 to work with per position. And since we have three spots left, Kev, I'll let you take the reins with it, and we'll build it from there. We got wide receiver, flex, and tight end.
Throw in Theo.
I like it. That's where I would have gone to, which gives us 7,450 for flex and tight end. So definitely opens up the slate on what we could do, where we could go. I think, you know, we definitely have opportunity to, you know, pay up for a guy like Puka. We definitely have opportunity, you know, I think we both are interested in Puka. Makes sense here. We could go to Gibbs, which makes sense to me. Devon Achane, you know, kind of gets us in that 7K range if we go the three running back route. So a lot of things that we can do with this lineup here. I'm just going to see what we can do if we plug in. If we plug in Puka, just to say that that's kind of like the guy that gives us a lot of range, and plug him into wide receiver position, that gives us 6,200 in the flex, Kev, which I'm not sure if there's anything that really stands out to you at 6,200. If in that range, if we went with a guy like Devon Achane, who we were both talking about at 7,400, he's obviously going to land in the flex. Then we have 500 left, and that leaves us with a Buka. We can't really get to Davante Adams that we talked about with the Jaguars D. So these are the decision points that we have right now. Kev, what are you thinking?
I like Puka in the flex.
In the flex or in the wide receiver spot that we have? Probably wide receiver spot, right? Since we have the flex open too.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
So then we're looking at, like, I mean, build that we built is, I mean, you know, I think there will be some popularity with Jackson Dart in this matchup, but the way that we've built this team out, you know, with, you know, not only have one high-priced guy. We have Garrett Wilson in there, who I don't think will be a popular. You know, we could go down on Jaguars D to try and get to, like, a Rico Dowdle in the flex, or, you know, who else is in this range here? I mean, Dowdle would be the one that we would get to first, or Jalen Waddle is $200 more. So we'd have to drop down to Saints D or below.
I don't love playing the Saints D, and
I don't either. I'm just letting you know what the build's alluding out to. I mean, even if we went like we're Jaguars, so if we went up to like Buccaneers D, as we kind of talked about, to get leverage there, we're looking at like Breece Hall, Rome Odunze. I mean, we could play Rome.
And that's what I was gonna say. I would just stick with the Jags and just play Rome, and just move Puka into the flex, as he's, you know, that's a 3 o'clock game. It's a little late hammer.
I can get behind that.
I will say that game. Now, obviously, it's only Thursday, but it does say there's a bit of rain snow mix possible for that game. Currently, thinking
yep.
more snow than rain pregame, but the more showery with a few flakes of the game with precipitation, and then they're saying winds north. Noteworthy here, I expect 15 to 20 mile an hour sustained winds. Wind gets up to 30. So if that holds and we're looking at like 20 mile an hour winds, I would come off that game as a – I wouldn't want to play any of the pass catchers. I wouldn't want to play any of the passing offense. I would just play DeAndre Swift and, you know, the running backs, because that yeah. – once you get to 20 mile an hour winds with like 30 mile an hour gusts, that's when you start to see passing games completely fall off.
No, definitely. That's a good call. So definitely something we'll have to monitor with this Milly team lineup. And that's why it's fun to, you know, reach out to us at the Fantasy Authority Twitter and X at FF_authority, or also be following along in the Discord there where we can share that lineup. So right now, as it stands, the Milly Maker lineup that we built for the DJ Nation pod is Jackson Dart at quarterback. We got Quinshon Judkins and DeAndre Swift as our running backs. Garrett Wilson, Darius Slayton, Rome Odunze with Puka Nacua in the flex being the late game. Theo Johnson at that tight end with the correlation there with Dart. And then the Jaguars D to close it out there. $200 left on the table. Always love leaving a little bit of money on the table, especially when we're in these, you know, high-end tournaments, to make sure that, you know, not duped or anything like that. And we enter it in for 20. And as we enter it in, we close the book on yet another podcast for the 2025 season as we broke down the week 10 DFS picks as it relates to DraftKings. Kev, any final words for the people before we sign off?
No, other than that one game, there's really no other weather concerns really to pay attention to. So I just think it's a good week to get a little bit different, kind of go away from some of the main chalk that you're going to get, because, you know, especially if some of these spots like Lamar Jackson becomes low-owned or Josh Allen low-owned, like maybe you pivot to some of those spots. So I think paying attention to ownership, I think this week could be pay off, because I don't think there's like many like just we're la- I think last week like it felt like there was some just like amazing spots to get to. Like this definitely. Week certainly does not feel that way.
Definitely, at least not at this time. And I think those are the best slates, right, from a GPP perspective, because you are able to, you know, get leverage on the field where they're saying, okay, these are the surefire spots, I can't miss on them because I don't know what else to do. And we, you know, you get back into the lab and just try and take shots on game environments that you feel really confident about. And that's when you're able to, you know, take advantage and lap the field. So these are always a fun weeks for, you know, Kevin, myself to attack, because we both play more on the tournament side than the cash side. So, and that's usually where our breakdowns kind of allude to. So if you're ever feeling like that's why we're the Degeneration Podcast. We're degenerates. We play the high payout GPPs, to be able to, rake in when the going's good. And, that's what the Degeneration fam has always been about. And that's what the Degen Podcast has always been about. So we appreciate everybody who's been rocking along with us so far this season for 10 podcasts to break down. Like I alluded to at the top of the hour, if you just kind of joined in halfway through, or maybe just at this point you've been scrolling through, but we do have a lot of fun shows planned for November as we get into the November month here, with the Thanksgiving slate coming around. I know we'll have, you know, a lot of island slates that are going to be broken down, as well as we'll be able to break down all main slates still with you too. So again, as always, Degen Nation fam, so indebted to you. Appreciate you guys rocking along with us all season. It's Degen Nation Podcast, powered by the Fantasy Authority. Again, follow the Fantasy Authority at @FF_authority. For Kevin Steele, the godfather himself, at FantasyRath13 is where you can find him on Twitter and X. Myself, Ryan Williams, you can find me on Twitter and X at @RyanAlexander_W. Degen Nation fam, you know what time it is. We got to get this money in week 10. We hope to see you up on the leaderboards. But until then, peace. You know who you're talking to. Well, you better get used to the way the ball bounces. I see what you got. Inventions and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. Think you're rocking up. Think you're rocking up. Think you're a big man. You like your little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. But that's a brace, boy. Yeah, that's a brace, little man. Break it down.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.